Okay, today's daf is daf Tzadik Vav. Definitely the command of the moment to get this daf straight. Let's remember we're only still on daf Tzadik Yomid Beis. And we're really in the middle of the sugya. It looked like we finished because yesterday we had Shmuel Paskening, but the halacha is like Rav Yossi. I believe that's the last thing that we said. Is that correct? Okay, now the truth is we had really two different pshatim in Rav Yossi. Remember that Rav Yossi said something rather ambiguous at the end of the mission. Rav Yossi said, it depends what the situation is. If he passes in a case where his wife goes overseas, and then she comes back, and it turns out now that he had married his wife's sister, that's all that it said in the Mishnah. Rav Yossi starts talking about if he passes this woman for somebody else, then he passes it for himself. He passes his wife for himself. If he doesn't pass it for someone else, he doesn't pass his wife for himself. So that immediately set us to thinking, but obviously there's got to be two people involved over here. It can't just be that they told him his wife died, because what in the world would his wife's death have to do with passing for somebody else? It makes no sense at all. It must be that there were two people involved, his wife, and also his sister-in-law's husband. It was in the Parshas of the Mishnah, we thought the Mishnah was talking about a case where there was just a sister who was unmarried. With Rav Yossi, we see that, no, it's clear that the Tanakhama was talking about a case where she was not unmarried. Her husband, however, had disappeared along with his own wife. So now the question is, if both of them show up together, so now there's two problems. First of all, he has been this whole time sleeping with his wife's sister, and this other guy, the husband, finds out that his wife has been sleeping with this guy, his brother-in-law. So in Lechora, in the case where there was a problem with, in normal case, with a woman who is sleeping with another man, thinking that her husband was dead, so she becomes asura on both. So the Parshas Rav Yossi was saying, once she becomes asura on her husband, so then the same thing is true of the wife, the wife's sister. The problem is that Rav Yossi said two lashonos. Rav Yossi says, if he passes her for somebody else, then his wife is psula for him. But if not, if she doesn't pass her, which does not make sense, as Tosfos says, does not make sense to say he's referring to a case where she was indeed unmarried. Because then, that's not the point that she doesn't passel. When you say she doesn't passel, the mashmaut is, there was a reason, somebody to passel, but she didn't passel. And we were having a hard time understanding what that case might be. Because it's clear that Rav Yossi is talking about, in both cases, whether he does passel for someone else or doesn't, he's talking about a case where there are two people involved, his own wife had gone overseas, his own brother-in-law had gone overseas, both of them had disappeared. So we had two explanations yesterday in Rav Yossi. Rav Ami says, look, what Rav Yossi is saying is, you're forgetting the very important distinction in the initial opening mission of our parak, which makes a difference between a case where a woman gets married, I'll be Shnei Yedim, or a woman gets married, I'll be Bezdin. So that's what Rav Yossi was talking about. If she had married, I'll be Shnei Yedim, so we said, my heavy lala me'evad, doesn't do anything wrong at all, so there she's considered to be the equivalent of an anusa. So there she wouldn't require any kind of get, she would be no iser on her husband, she goes back to her first husband, she's an anusa kol b'seder. If we're talking about a case, however, where she got married, and she would get married with the heter of Bezdin. So there, since we're going ahead now, we're saying in that case, so then she requires a get for both of them. We have an overall kenasa. That's the halacha. So if that's the case, same way she's aser on her husband, she also asered his wife on him. Because vis-a-vis her husband, she requires a get, if she requires a get. So then the other woman now appears to be the sister of a woman to whom he was married to, all right, he gave her a get. So there we have an explanation as to why it is that according to Rav Yossi, there will be two cases.
Can you explain the difference between the marrying witnesses and marrying by the Beit
Din? No, because it's the whole, it's the whole first part of the parak which you missed. Okay. Right. But I know it's taken on faith, because that's something that took 2 days to explain. So.
Okay.
Now, the other case, the other explanation is Rav Yitzchak Nafta's explanation. Rav Yitzchak Nafta says that's not the point at all. The Mishnah, it does not make sense to say that all of a sudden this Mishnah is going back to discuss the difference between being married up Yishnei Yedim and that, because the initial Mishnah really wasn't interested in telling us that distinction. The only thing the initial Mishnah discussed in the terms of the difference between marrying up Yibezdin and Shalom up Yibezdin was in terms of whether she needs to bring a carbon. But that wasn't the main thrust of the Mishnah. I believe that this continues along with the main thrust of the Mishnah. When we got married, I'll be Bezdin and so on. Nonetheless, I say, Sir Yitzchak Nafta, Rav Yossi makes perfectly good sense. Why does it make perfectly good sense? Because the question over here is, you're talking about a brother-in-law, but there's really two types of brother-in-laws, just as there's two types of wives. There's a wife who is a mikudeshet, which is called an arusa, and there's a wife who's a nisu'ah, who's completely married, who was taken to the chuppah. So you'll say, okay, but technically both of them are an eshetish, why would there be a difference? Here's the genius point that Rav Yossi is making. Rav Yossi says, look, albeit in a normal case where a woman goes out of sleeping with another guy, and now the guy comes back, we say in that case you have to give a get the second guy, who really, was just carrying on with her, it turned out. He has to give her a get. Why? Because people do not know that this whole thing happened because of this terrible mistake. They may well think that they see somebody else now living as man and wife with another guy's wife, obviously they're going to assume that she was divorced from her husband, which is a very normal thing. Her husband came back now. So very nice husband came back, but this is her first husband. She's got a second husband. If she goes back now to her first husband, they're going to think, what? How did that happen? Did she, I mean, how did she get back over here? And if she goes out without a get, and Stam gets married to somebody, it's like, what, you mean when somebody is married a second marriage, you don't need a get? Is that what it's about? There's no getting? So because of that, we said, okay, go ahead and give her a get. It's his ear. Put his ear back. Okay.
At least when you hit me, I see it coming.
Just good looking.
Okay. Okay, listen, you guys in Joburg, I know the video wasn't working right now, but it was cute. All right. So therefore, if that's the logic, we have to examine whether that logic applies in this case. Think about it for a minute. The guy comes back now and finds his brother-in-law married to his wife. And what are people going to think? That his brother-in-law married his wife because he had given a get. Understand, his brother-in-law is never allowed to marry this guy's wife. His wife is still alive, and she also came back. So people are saying, what the heck is going on over here? The guy's married to an Arabah. He's married to his wife's sister. My God, it must have been a terrible mistake. People must have thought she was dead, and that's what happened. That's why he married this sister. It's a scandalous situation. It's all over the front page. Who is going to think that he's married to her because she got a get? I mean, that's ridiculous, right? So in this case, says Rabbi Yossi, now that's what Rabbi Yossi is pointing out. You can't apply blindly the halakha across the board that the second guy has to give a get. You're only going to give a get when it's reasonable to think that people are going to make a mistake of thinking that they're really married. They can't possibly think that in this case. So therefore, normally I would have said, it's not a problem in this case at all. And you're right, Rabbanan, he can go right back to his wife, even though there's this other guy, because obviously he's not going to give a get to this woman that everybody knows is an Arava. And since he didn't give her a get, and everybody knows it was a mistake, the Torah said, you don't answer your own wife by sleeping with a woman that she answered on you, as we went through the whole Svara yesterday, we darshan it from the Pasuk, Ota, and not Biyad Achuta, Paselat Ota, so what's the problem? But you're forgetting about one important point, says Rabbi Yosef to Rabbanan. The important point is, how about if his wife who went overseas actually wasn't yet his complete wife. She hadn't gone to the chuppah and hadn't consummated the marriage. She only was his wife b'kiddushin. So you'll say, who cares? I'll tell you who cares. Once you put in that additional point, you got another problem. Again, let's reconstruct what happens. People are looking. They see a guy married to his ostensible sister-in-law. And they see her husband sitting around and his wife is married to somebody else. The conclusion. What's the first thing you think of? The conclusion is, well, by golly, must have been some terrible mistake and they got wrong information. Nobody thinks of that. The first thing that comes to mind is that, hey, it's interesting. He never did get to take that woman to the chuppah, this guy, this woman's sister. Must have been that they had made a condition in the kiddushin. And as long as it's only in the kiddushin, that's pretty common. The guy doesn't want to be beaten out by somebody else. So he gets kiddushin through. He's not really 100% sure that she's for him. He makes a condition. He says, look, I don't really know if you've got your B.A. So if you have your B.A., this should be a kosher kiddushin. And if you don't, it's not a kosher kiddushin. Must be. It turned out it was a phony B.A., like most of the government ministers around here, right? Okay, so if that's the case, will she not need a get? Sure she will, because then she becomes like anybody else. Nobody thinks she's an Arava. They just figured the first condition was annulled. There was a condition in it. If she had gone as a Nusu'ah, nobody thinks that, because it's not normal for a guy to make a condition when he's actually sleeping with a woman. And that's sort of an unconditional commitment. I mean, if you still have conditions and don't take her to bed. So that's not what they're going to think. But in a case where she was only the Kudesha, that is what they're going to think. Therefore, says Rabbi Yosef, a beautiful nafkamin, don't give me across the board that the case is that his wife is Mutaret. Because there's a case where his wife is Asura. And that case would be where he needed to give a get to the sister. And when is that? When people have grounds to think that he was never married to his first wife, and therefore this woman is not the sister of his wife. But once he gives a get, he's in big trouble. Because if he gave a get, how can he go back to his first wife? And people say, what? He's taking now a woman who is a sister of a woman that he gave a get to and he was married to? Doesn't he know that you're never allowed to marry a woman that you were once married to and in lifetime, the sister of a woman you were once married to? Therefore, in that case, indeed, he's going to look like he's sleeping with his sister-in-law. And therefore, in that case, I say it would be us. So those are two chapters in Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi indeed remarks, we cannot, across the board, agree with you that the man can return to his own wife. It depends on the circumstance. So according to Rabbi Ami, depending on the circumstances means it depends on whether it was on the basis of two witnesses or one witness with Ater Pesdin. And according to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, it depends whether his wife had gone overseas after going to the chuppah or before going to the chuppah. That will be the nafkamina. And now, when Shmuel Paskin yesterday, and this was the last thing that we had learned, Omar Shmuel, halakha, this is one third of the way up, Halachak Reb Yossi. We assumed that when Shmuel Paskin like Reb Yossi, what he meant to say was, like Reb Yossi according to the Svara of Reb Yitzchak Navka. Meaning, that Shmuel is saying, we do indeed have to be careful to distinguish between a case of an Arusa and a Suah, because in a case of an Arusa, people will indeed think that there was a Tznai B'Kiddushin. And that is a reason, that's the first thought that will come to mind, before people will consider that there was a mistake, and that he had wrong information and married on the basis of that wrong information. Okay? That's what we thought. Thinking that, Maskev for Reb Yosef. Reb Yosef attacked the Maimer of Reb Yehuda who claimed that Shmuel Paskin like Reb Yosef. Umi Amar Shmuel Achi, did Shmuel indeed Paskin like Reb Yosef? I am going to show you that Shmuel does not take into consideration people's possible chashash that there was a Tznai and a Kiddushin. Where will I show you this? Via Itma. Yevama. Rav Amar Harei Keishet Ish, V'Shmuel Amar Eina Keishet Ish. Now, it isn't clear what that means. I mean, it could mean Rav holds Yevama is like an Eishes Ish, meaning, like Rav Amnuna said earlier, remember we had a machlokas, according to Rav Amnuna, and a Yevama who was Mizana, that Yevama becomes Asura to the Yevam. Whereas Shmuel Amar Eina Keishet Ish, maybe that's what he's saying. Right, that a Yavama does not become Asura to her Yavam if she goes out and sleeps with someone min hashuk. That's a possibility. However, Rav Huna said, no, that is not what they're arguing. Because the truth is, we don't paskin like Rav Amnuna, and it's difficult to believe that was their machlokas. You know what the machlokas is? They left the case very ambiguous, but I want to tell you, the case is as follows. Kegon shekidesh achivat ha'isha. What happened is this. His brother goes ahead and gave kiddushin, never took it to the chuppah, gave kiddushin to a woman. This brother goes on a business trip and never comes home. Now, the brother, who is at home, he hears that his brother has died. So what does he do? He goes ahead and says, gosh, you know, I mean, I'm a Yavam. My brother died after giving Kiddushin, leaving no children, obviously, never even slept with her. So I have to do Yavam. Then does he do Yavam even from Kiddushin? Okay. So he goes ahead, Amad, he goes ahead, and he marries this guy's wife, Vinasahat Ishto. So Rav is saying that a Yavama becomes the equivalent of an Eshet Ish, meaning that now people will say, huh, look at this. This guy married his brother's wife. How did that happen when the guy shows up? Ah, what's the first thing they're going to say? That he must have thought he died? No. It was his brother's wife, but there was a condition. Because, I mean, he never did take her to the chuppah. What must have happened is that the two of them were vying for the same woman. This brother took her only on condition that he had a BA. Turns out she doesn't have a BA, and he goes ahead, and the brother said, well, what an idiot he was. I never wanted a college-educated wife anyway. And he went and married her, and everything is normal now, right? So now what happens is that since he looks like he's the husband, so she is now like a married woman to the second brother. And now she cannot go back to her real husband, who was the other brother. She's obviously an erva on this brother, because in fact there was no tonight in the Kiddushin. Right? But people won't think that that's what happened. Whereas Shmuel says, nah, people are not going to think that there was a tonight in the Kiddushin. How many people think that the first thing that's going to come to mind is that there was clearly a wrong witnesses that had said that the brother had died and he had relied on it, he thought he was doing a mitzvah. That's what must have happened. So what are you telling me that Shmuel Paskins, like Reb Yossi, if here the whole point that Shmuel is making is that people do not think that there's a Tanai and a Kiddushin. Whereas the way Reb Yitzchak Mafkat explained Reb Yossi is the whole point Reb Yossi was making, is that no, you have to consider the possibility of people thinking that there is a Tanai and a Kiddushin, which means you're going to need to give a get. Shmuel says the exact opposite. This is a hot kafa, this is matkifla. What's the matter with you? It's exactly the opposite. It's a very powerful question. Because now the first husband, it looks like her Yovam. Right? Yeah, it's very confusing. Right? There is another pshat, but this is Rashi's preferred pshat. Okay. So therefore, it makes no sense, because Shmuel says she's not like an Eishes Ish, because nobody's going to make that mistake. Omar Abai, Abai says, well, but now, excuse me, what kind of question is that? You jump to a conclusion, and you go and attack. All we said was, halacha kribyosi. That's all Rav Yehuda said. Now, you were the one who jumped to the conclusion that when you say halacha kribyosi, you must mean halacha kribyosi the way Rav Yehuda not explained kribyosi, which is all built around the question of whether there's people will come to think that there was a tznai in kiddushin. It's Rav Yitzchak Navka, after all, who says that the two points of kribyosi are if the woman was married, meaning kiddushin, or if the woman was married, meaning nisuin. And maybe that's not how Shmuel Paskin like Reb Yossi. Shmuel Paskin like Reb Yossi the way Reb Ami had understood Reb Yossi. That the difference is between there being Eid Achor, or between there being Shnei Eid, not between Kiddushin and Nisuin, in which case this wasn't even a factor in his Psak like Reb Yossi, and you're already going on the attack. Cool down. Okay. So who said to you, he meant Rabbi Yossi as explained by Rabbi Yisrael Nafka? Maybe he meant Rabbi Yossi ad Rabbani Kama, in which case it's irrelevant to the whole discussion. Your hatkafa is bringing in facts that have absolutely no connection to the case. So I'm not impressed. And you know what? Let's take another step. Maybe, in fact, it meant halakha Rabbi Yossi, I'll leave the Rabbi Yitzhak Nafcha. What's the main point of Rabbi Yossi? Is the main point of Rabbi Yossi that in a case of Kiddushin we do have to be Cheshish? Or is the main point of Rabbi Yossi that in a case of Nisuin we don't have to be Cheshish? The Rabbana, maybe that's the point. Maybe he was saying, Mimaida Aposel. Who says that he's referring to the part of Rabbi Yossi who says, well, if it's a case of an Arusa, then you got to worry. Maybe he's not talking about the case in which he's saying it's puzzle because of the Tanayim Kedushin. And look at Amish, well, doesn't hold the Chashad of Tanayim Kedushin. He's talking about what Rabbi Yossi said when he said, Eino puzzle. Because the Tanakama said that the wife of the Gis is always Usser. That's how Rabbi Yossi had heard the Tanakama. And his own sister, his own original wife, is Mutarat. Comes along Rabbi Yossi to say, no, that's not so pasha. Even the wife to the her own husband in this case would be Mutarat. That's a Kiddush, isn't it? That's an ingenious Kiddush that Rabbi Yossi said. You can't simply, across the board, decide that any woman who slept with another guy based on the information that her husband had died is necessarily Asura. She's only Asura if she needed a get, but she only needs a get if there's a possibility that people will think that she got a get from her first husband. In this case, there's no such possibility because the get wouldn't have helped her from the first husband. Because anyway, she's this guy's sister-in-law, and he wouldn't be allowed to marry her even if she had gotten a get from her husband. Because he can't marry a sister-in-law ever. Now that is what Shmuel was saying. Yes, indeedy. Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. Don't say that across the board, if she is going to be asura for her husband. That's not true. As far as the other part, the Rabbi Yossi said, but of course it was a kedushin, then she does need a get because people will think that it's a dying kedushin. About that, Shmuel said, nah, that's not even true. Even if it was only the kedushin, nobody's going to think that. So whether it was the kedushin or whether it was the nisuin, she never needs a get from the second guy. She does not become a suitor to her first husband. That's not a brilliant psak. So why did you jump to conclusions? Halacha Rabbi Yossi means even about the question of whether there's a dying kedushin. He was never talking about that. Not a word. Okay? So dilma eino posa. Well, you know what? I will say, even another pshat. Maybe, indeed, has nothing to do. He paskins like Rabbi Yossi across the board, like Rabbi Yitzhak Nafcha. Now, what was your hatkafa? Your hatkafa was based on Rav Huna's explanation of what is the machlokas Rav and Shmuel, right? So Rav Huna said, oh, I got a brilliant explanation. Brilliant explanation being, this guy's brother went overseas, he made a mistake. They didn't say anything about that, Rav and Shmuel themselves. All Rav and Shmuel said was, if your bum is like an Eish Tish, you're not like an Eish Tish. Rav Huna makes up this whole story about a case that they are referring to. You know what? If Rav Huna is wrong, and the explanation of the case is completely different, as I'm about to suggest to you, then you are asking a question based on a wrong understanding of the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. I say, Shmuel Paskin, like Rav Yossi, according to Rav Yitzhak Nafcha, there is a chashash always of its nine condition, which Shmuel holds up with all his heart. So now you're going to say, so why did he say that about the Yavama, that the Yavama he's saying is not like an Ashes Ish? Well, that makes you think they're talking about Rav Huna's crazy case. Maybe the Pshat of Yom HaLess of Rav Huna Klal. Rav Huna had nothing to do with reality. You know what the case Machlokas? Like I said to you in the beginning, like in Ribon Nuna, isn't there a machlokas that we had earlier? Whether Yavam is Keishas Ish? Simple question. A guy, Bishuk, slept Be'isr Lav with the Yavama before the Yavam took her. Does she become Asura to the Yavam? That's the question. No. Why can't that be the machlokas? Yavam is Keishas Ish, Yavam is not Keishas Ish. That's the most reasonable explanation. Instead, you come up with this Rube Goldberg case in which the guy going overseas and a mistaking back and now the grammar. Where do you get that from, Bichlal? Tosfos indeed asks, yeah, where do you get that from? I mean, that is a little bit wild. You have a simple explanation, and you create this, like, with your hand going around the other way to scratch your ear. So it's Tosfos because it isn't reasonable. Because of the fact that we pass him against Rav Huna, it's difficult to believe that that was the Machlok. Okay, fine, it's difficult to believe, start believing. Now, that's what I say. I mean, if you've got a contradiction in Shmuel, that's the easiest way out. So Rav is saying, a ray of gracious ish, meaning that she becomes psula business like Rav Huna, and Shmuel is saying, in a gracious ish, and she doesn't become psula business like Rav Huna. Well, you know what? I got an even simpler explanation. Maybe the question is like this. Maybe the question is, a Yavama is ke'eshes ish. Meaning, somebody went ahead and gave kedushin to a Yavama. The machlokas is whether, we had this machlokas earlier, is kedushin tofsin the Yavama or is kedushin not tofsin the Yavama, right? Do remember, Rav was saying, when it comes, since it says, lo tiye eshes amesh v'yizar, lo tiye means no kedushin. And what did Shmuel say? Well, we're very happy that there are people like you who know things so well. But ba'aniotenu, remember that language? We, who don't have such good brains, we're going to have to be cheshit for kedushin, and we're going to say she needs a get, right? Okay. That's an extent machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So why do you need to make up a new machlokas? Rav Huna is making up a new machlokas. We have an existing machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as to whether Kedushin is Tovsim in the Yavama. That's the machlokas over here. Is the Yavama Keishas Ish if somebody gave her Kedushin in Ashuk or not? That's all. What's wrong with that? So therefore, Inami, the Kedushin Tovsim in the Yavama, come here, forget. Rav Amar Keishas Ish, Velo Tavsipa Kedushin, Zobish Shmuel Amar, Eina Keishas Tavsipa Kedushin. When I say she's an Eishas Ish, I mean, if a man gives Kedushin to an Eishas Ish, do we have to worry about the Kedushin? No. That's what I say. And Kedushin tells him to be a Vama because Loki, Eishas Amesha Chutza means Loki, there cannot be Havaya. So she's exactly the same as if she's married to her Yavam. The Zika is like marriage. Somebody else tries to marry her, we laugh at him. Where Shmuel is saying, no, she's not an Eishas Ish. Somebody gave, when Annie gave Kedushin to the Yavama, then indeed there's a question, there's a problem. Of course, Shmuel said, Ben Yotena, we're not sure, and so on, but she's Keishas, she's not Keishas, meaning she's going to need a get. But Tavsipa Kedushin. Says the Gemara, but then, this is not a good explanation, because that machlokas is an existing machlokas. It was introduced in terms of the drush of the pasuk lo tiyeh. Does that mean lo tiyeh b'havaya? Or does it mean that Shmuel said, b'niyotenu tzricha get? So why would we find the machlokas again in this language, whether she's an anxious keishasish or not keishasish? Why would they repeat it? This has got to be a different machlokas. That's why Rav Huna didn't like this explanation, and he created the Rube Goldberg explanation. That's not a question, says the Gemara. Maybe there was no such machlokas. Maybe what happened is that Rav and Shmuel discussed one time this issue. The simplest way to repeat over the issue is the Yavama Keshas Ish or not? So for shorthand, somebody says, look, he says Yavama is Keshas Ish, and therefore it's like trying to marry an Eshas Ish, that's what Rav says. But what Rav actually said was, Lo Tiyeva Havaya, that's all he said. So it's the same thing. It was Chodem Iqbal Kaberta Yitma. They said it once. Some people said it over in the simplified version. Some people gave it over in the actual version. That's never a question. So there we have now our explanation of the machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rabbanan. We've learned because of it all types of incredible new things, whether the din of a woman being asura to her husband in a case where she had gone out and based her marriage on a heter bezdin of one aid, whether that's entirely because she needs a get from the other guy, or whether that's unrelated. It's just the fact that she had been sleeping with another guy as part of the knas that Rabbanan gave her to be machmir aleha bisofa. We learned to include that issue. We've learned to question the situation where she would or would not need a get from the second guy, depending on what people will think. We've learned to take into consideration whether people are going to look at the possibility of it's my Kedushin or whether they're not. These are all factors we never would have thought of until we worked through all of this logic over here. And in the course of it, we've even managed to find out that there's many different things that we need to take into consideration in terms of the relationship of a Yavama to Eishas Ish B'chlal. A lot of different ways of seeing the meaning of those words. Amrulam, next Mishnah says like this. Amrulam meita ishtecha. Tell a guy his wife died. He goes ahead now, and based on that, he goes and marries her half-brother. Her brother from a common father. Half-sister. He's not that literal. Not that literal. He married her half-sister, which would have been Asura if she was alive, because it doesn't matter whether it's a sister from a mother, sister from a father. Okay. And then they tell him, well, your next wife died on her next trip. Okay, so now he goes ahead and he marries her sister. But this sister is unrelated totally to the first wife because she is a half-sister from a common mother to the second wife. Then they come along and tell him, well, your third wife died. So now he goes and marries a fourth wife who is a half-sister to the third wife through a common father who is unrelated now to the second wife. So what happens is it turns out that every other woman is unrelated to every other woman. Right? So one is half-related to two. But one is unrelated to three. Three is half related to two, but unrelated to five, and unrelated to one, and so on, right? So as long as each time, as many times as he does this, in which he's getting half-sisters married to him, we can now look back and watch what happens when they all show up. So what happens over here? Let's read it inside. V'nasachotamima. Meita, then she's reported dead. And he marries Achotami Aviyah. Meita, then she's reported dead. V'nasachotami ima. And now all of them walk in. V'nimtsu kulam kayamot. Okay, what's his aloha? Well, we already said, if a man marries his wife's sister, obviously it wasn't much of a marriage, he doesn't asur his wife. Okay, so the first woman he was really married to. The fact that he was carrying on with the second woman as her half-sister doesn't asur her. But it does also the second woman. The second woman is still the wife, the sister of his first wife. So she's out. But how about the third woman? The third woman is unrelated to his first wife. So that was a good marriage. So now he does have two wives. He has wife number one, and he has wife number three. Wife number two he doesn't have because of wife number one, and wife number four he doesn't have because of wife number three. So in this case, he would be mutar in his first wife. He would be mutar in his third wife. He would be mutar in his fifth wife, and so on and so forth, and in his seventh wife. Every other wife is a good wife. Okay. And those women would be completely meritim, without any shadow of a doubt, without any isser involved, and therefore if he dies leaving over his wives 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9, so those wives now, each one of them, only one of them requires Yibum or Chalitza. Like any case where more than one woman falls to Yibum or Chalitza. There's no psul over here that we have to worry about. Do you need Yibum for everyone or Chalitza rather for everyone? And of course, he would be usher in wife number 2. And when we say usher, we mean completely unmarried to wife number 2 because she's an Erva. Wife number 4 was an Erva. And therefore, if people mistakenly think that they are still married and they take them for Yibum, it's like taking a stranger and had nothing to do with the Yibum. And they would be other women who are really married. They would be still requiring Yibum and Chalitza. Ve'in biyat echad b'yam poteret zarata. Now, if it turned out that really his first wife had died, and only wives 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 show up, so then what happens? Well, if it turns out imbala shniyala achar mitat rishona, that the first wife had actually died, then it's the other way around. So then the real wife is wife number 2, wife number 4, wife number 6, and so on. And now those were the women that would now be potrot zarateyem. And wife number 3, and wife number 5, and wife number 7 are completely unmarried to him because they are arayot on him because of the wife before them. And he would be asur bishul shitu b'chamishit. Ve'ein bi'at achat mehem poteret zarata. So now that's all very clear. Now, other cases where we need to take into consideration a situation where a woman is sort of married, but not quite married. A case where you have a woman that falls to Yibum, appears to be falling to Yibum, but isn't really falling to Yibum completely. There is another case. The other case is, you have a child, but he has to be over 9 years old. If he's not over 9 years old, then he's not considered to be physically capable of Biyah. We didn't give him any dinin of Asrin with Biyah. But if he's ben teisha shanim v'yom echad, so as we said earlier, his Biyah is considered to be midrabbanan, the equivalent of a normal brother's giving ma'amar. The normal brother gives ma'amar, which is a drabbanan kiddushin on a yavama, at least according to Beitel, the drabbanan kiddushin of a yavama. So what would be the din? The brother who gives ma'amar, he's the one that can marry her. The other brothers become puzzled because of the fact that one of the brothers gave ma'amar. Okay. So now suppose that ben teisha v'yom echad goes and he takes the yavama. Hu posel al yadei achim. Once he sleeps with this yavama, so now the other brothers cannot take her. They can only do chalitza. Ve'achim poslin al yadav. Now, obviously, if one of the mature brothers, one of the adult brothers, had taken the yavama, given ma'amar, in this case, to the yavama, so he now will never be able to marry this yavama. So, in other words, his bar mitzvah being on this Shabbos, and he thought, boy, on Sunday I got my wife already. It's the yavama of my brother, but I already did my thing, you know. So she's mine. Now finds out to his chagrin that he's going to have to find somebody else. Because since the older brother now hassered her on him by giving ma'amar, so he'll never be able to marry. The difference, however, is that Elahu posel techila, his psul only works if he gave the ma'amar, at this point we think if he slept with her, before the other brother acts. But if he acts after another brother, then his actions are irrelevant. We don't put him in a position in which he's able to undo the act of an adult brother. He's only able to create problems when we had a yavama that nothing was done to yet, and he's the first person who now acts on her, then the Rabbanan gave him kinyanim in his yavama.
Because he
can't
have kids in
his state. No, nothing to do with kids. He doesn't have kinyanim. Elohu posel techila. The only difference is that he can only possible if he acts first, before, so he preempts the brothers. Mashenkein, the older brothers, they can basically cross out his plans for his bar mitzvah. And he's not going to be able to get her to the chuppah because by that time he finds out one of the older brothers came after him and did minor. But even though it came after, it still passes over him. Ketzad, what do we need? Well, aben teisha shana v'yom echad, shebal yavimto, pasal al yadei achim. So now this nine-year-old who goes out and sleeps with his yavama assers her to his older brothers. Bo alea achim, but the brothers, whatever they do, whether they sleep with her, or whether they give her ma'amar, or whether they give her a get, when I say they, I mean any one of them, give her a get, or any one of them give her chalitza, they passel her for him, even though he had already gone ahead and done his thing. Says the Gemara, the first word you said back at the first part of the Mishnah, there's been two Mishnahs over here, don't seem to be related in any deep way. But getting back to that first Mishnah, you said that if he slept with the second woman after the death of his wife, I thought, well, obviously it was after the, I mean, after the presumed death of his wife. That's what Meta meant. It meant, in this Mishnah, it meant people told him, Meta. So, well, of course it was after Meta. Now, here it means Meta. Not that they told him Meta. Here it means after she had really died. Le'achamitat mishonava die is what it means. The references to make all along were, and she was presumed dead. The Edomit said she was dead. This last use of the word make, I mean, she really was dead. And then only the second and third and fourth came and showed up. Okay, now getting to the second part of the mission. Ben Teshashanim Yomechad, you're saying, is only Pasol Tchila and not Pesof. So Ben Teshashanim Yomechad Tchila Pasil, Pesof Lo Pasil, is that what you're claiming in this Mishnah? But Tani Rav Zvimber of Oshaya, does it not say in a bright of the Ferish that Ha'oseh Ma'amar B'Yavim Tov, Ve'achakach Ba'achiv Shehu Ben Teshashanim Yomechad, Ve'al Pasla, an adult brother who gives Ma'amar to his Yavama and comes along his kid brother and takes her to bed. He can no longer, the adult brother, can no longer consummate his marriage to this Yavana. Kid brother, who came afterwards, ruined his plans. I thought the Mishnah says kid brother can't do anything after adult brother acts. Is that what you said? No. It is what I said, but you're missing a point, and indeed the Mishnah is misleading. The truth is, his act of bia, which is this case, will passel even after the act of an adult brother. Because that's a physical fact. I mean, we don't pretend that it didn't happen. You're saying either we treat his bia as an important event or we don't. I mean, so there, his bia is posel afilo besof. When we said that the katan can pasel, that was referring to the ma'amar of the katan. The ma'amar of the katan can only pasel tchila, but besof lo pasel. Hashem king, the bia pasels even at the end. Says the Gemara, but read the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say that. The bia afilo besof pasel. V'akatani, look back at the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ela, shehu posel tchila, vehin tchila besof. And then you go ahead and you gave a case, Ketzad, Ben Teshashanim Yomechad, Sheba Al Yavimto, etc., etc. So you weren't talking about Ma'amar, you were talking about Sheba Al Yavimto. And in that context you said, it's only Tehillah, not Sofa. How can you possibly say the Mishnah is referring to Ma'amar when the Mishnah itself clarifies when it says, and what do I mean, Ketzad? I mean he slept with his Yavama. It's outrageous, your pshat. Says the Gemara, well, it would be. Except that now that we see the Braita, we understand that our Mishnah is Chisurei Mechaser. Actually, our Mishnah is missing a line. The correct reading of the Mishnah is as follows. Ben Teshashanim, V'yom Echad, Hu Posel Techila, V'ein Poselim Techila Basof. Okay, so far so good. Now, stick in this line. B'med Devarim Amorim, when do we say that? B'ma'amar, Avobia Posel Tafilu Basof. That line now ends and changes everything. Ketzad, the Ketzad referring to the end of the line. You said, B'ez Posel Tafilu Basof, what do we mean? We mean that a Ben Teshashanim, V'yom Echad, who is Baal Yavim Tov, is pasels for his brothers even where they had already given Ma'amar. That's what the Mishnah means. A completely different reading of the Mishnah. So he pasels Ayadei Ach. Pasels Ayadei. But so now you're saying the Mishnah is referring to Ma'amar. I thought the whole point of the Mishnah was referring to Bia. I mean, does a cotton have Ma'amar to pasel brothers? Me'idlei Ma'amar Kalal Ayadei Achim. V'atanya, doesn't the price say that a Ben Tesha Shanim V'yom Echad, Hu posel B'davar Echad, V'achim Poselin Ayadei B'arba'ad Varim. Says Beferish. A katan can pasel a yavama for his adult brothers only one way, by sleeping with her. Whereas the brothers can pasel a yavama for katan in four ways. Because either they can actually do yivam, which obviously ends the whole story, or sleep with her, which ends the whole story. They could give a chalitza, which obviously also ends the whole story. They could give maimer, which ends the whole story, and then give a get, which ends the whole story. For him. Doesn't end the whole story for the other brothers, the last two cases, the ma'amar again. But for him, it'll all end the whole story. For the brothers, yes, Chalitza ends the whole story, Yivam ends the whole story, Ma'amar, and Get creates an Issa. And now we'll have to go ahead and we'll have to do Chalitza, we can't do Yivam anymore. But only the adult has four ways in which he mess up his siblings. The child only has one way to mess up his siblings. So how can you say that he has Ma'amar if your thing doesn't have Ma'amar at all? Achim posina yado, bebia, bema'amar, beget, and bechalitza. Ah, says the Gemara, that's because if we were going to start talking about Ma'amar of the cotton, we would have had to start saying, what we mean is Ma'amar besof, but actually betchila, but besof not. We didn't want to start making detailed differences. We wanted to keep it clean. So it's certainly true, a cotton can always pass it with bia, and a brother can always pass it in four ways. But it's also true that there are times that a cotton can pass it with Ma'amar, if he does his Ma'amar before the brothers do anything. Okay. That's only betchila. We didn't want to say that. So therefore, B of the pasul ben betchila ben besof psikale. That is something that's clear, and I could say that straight out. I didn't want to mention ma'amar because ma'amar, since it only passes betchila and besof lo pasul lo psikale, it wasn't something that I could simply state. I would need to state it and then start explaining it. Whereas my whole tachlis over here was to give you a very simple rule, which stands as a rule in certain cases, and it clarifies the difference between the gadol and the katan very, very well. Because when I say it this way, you know that what I'm talking about is a thing that a kohen can do, which is the equivalent of the four things that the gadol can do. So just like the four things that a gadol can do, doesn't matter whether it's b'tchila or b'sof. So too, the one thing that I'm mentioning to you that the kohen can do, which is bia, also doesn't matter if it's b'tchila or b'sof, he's always going to mess up the situation for his brothers as well. Because once the rabbanim were metakein the bia as a kinyan for a kohen on the yavama, so they also gave him kinyanim and rabbanim on ma'amar, but only partially, only insofar as the other brothers haven't yet acted. That's what our mission is saying. Itmar nami. No, we're going to get to that. Let's wait till we get to that. This daf is going to be discussing and contrasting the various things that are true about a katan, including the case that you just raised. But right now we're talking about ma'amar to yavama, which is not the equivalent of giving kedushin to an ish. It's a special kinyan. Itmar nami amar yiram shmuel. We also learn that Shmuel is quoted as saying yesh lo get. And Rebbe Taklifa Bar Avini is quoted as saying, Yeshlo Ma'amar. And there's a brisa, Tadina Miyachi, Yeshlo Get the Yeshlo Ma'amar, give Rebbe Meir. Well, Rebbe Meir holds that a cotton can give a get to Yavama? So Rebbe Meir, Yeshlo Get. Vatanya Asu Biat Bentesha, Ki Ma'amar Begadil. Says in a brisa, as we saw earlier, that the Biat of a Bentesha is not a real Kenyan in the Yavama. It's only enough of a Kenyan to prevent a brother from taking the Yavama. So the kinyan of bia of a katan in the Yavama is the equivalent of the kinyan of ma'amar of a gadol in the Yavama, as we've seen many times. Ma'amar is a kinyan to rabbanan, enough of a kinyan to prevent the other brothers from acting, but not enough of a kinyan to consummate the relationship, and it still requires yibum. He can't just give her a get to his ma'amar. He could give a get to the ma'amar, but then he'll still need chalitza for the Yavama. And so, Rabbi Meir, and this is what's important, that's Rabbi Meir Omer, asu chalitzat ben tesha to get the gadol. If a katan goes ahead and does chalitza, that's the equivalent of a gadol doing a get. Now, did you not just say that according to Rabbi Meir, even a katan can give a get? So why in the world would Rabbi Meir have said, if he gives chalitza, it's like a gadol's giving a get? All you needed to say is that if you give chalitza, it's like him giving a get. If Rabbi Meir holds that giving a get is actually valid to this katan. So why would he have said it's like a gadol giving a get? Says the Gemara for a very good reason. Because a gadol giving a get and a katan's giving a get is not the same thing, as I'm going to show you in a minute. And the halacha is that the chalitza of the katan is as powerful as the get of the gadol, more powerful than the get of the katan, which is exactly what I said. That if he gives chalitza, they gave it the bit of a get of a gadol as opposed to the get of a katan. But that doesn't mean that there's no such thing as a get of a katan. There certainly is. It's just that his chalitza is even better than the get of a katan. It's as good as the get of a gadol. That's the point. So, in other words, what we have found, according to this, is that the rabbanan were mitakein in the Yavama. Not only what we thought, which was an additional kinyan called ma'amar, and an additional kinyan in the sense of psul called get, an additional ptur called get. In other words, an extension of yibum into kiddushin, and an extension of chalitza into yitin, which is what we saw earlier. But the rabbanan were also mitakein a number of very important other things. They were mitakein a new kinyan for cotton, which has the same power of ma'amar, and that kinyan is a kinyan of beer for cotton. So we now have five ways in which yavama is nitnes. We find that they also gave a new kinyan called ma'amar of a cotton, not to be confused with ma'amar of a gadol. We also, because the difference is that Ma'amar of a Gadol can act even after another brother acts. Ma'amar of a Gadol cannot. They also were metakein, according to some, a din of get, which is not the same as a get of a Gadol. It's only the get of a katan. What is the get of a katan? What way do they differ? Oh, says Ravuna, brother of Yeshua, it's not a katan, doesn't have a get. Itle. But zutar, it's less of a get than a Gadol. How is it less of a get? L'Rebbe Gamliel, the Yomar, ein get, acher get. Hanimi libi Gadol, acher Gadol, the katan, acher katan. Avo Gadol, acher katan, mahana. One difference is that according to Rabbi Gamliel, we had a machlokas earlier, if you remember, whether yesh get after get or ain't get after get. So Rabbi Gamliel holds that ain't get after get. But when do we say ain't get after get? That's only when the two getting are on the same level. So both brothers, both surviving brothers are ketanim, or both surviving brothers are gedolim. But suppose one brother is a katan and one brother is a gadol, then yesh get after get. So that if over here the katan went ahead now, when do we say, says the Rebbe Gamliel, that's dafka get acher get b'kotten acher kotten? But a gadol acher kotten mahani, a get of a gadol will help after the act of the kotten. So in other words, now there will be the psul of the gadol, and these are two different halachas. So therefore, we have yet another kinyan. And according to Rabbanan, hold yesh get acher get. The difference would be, when did Rabbanan say yesh get acher get? Either a gadol's get after a gadol's get, or a kotten's get after a kotten's get. But a katan who gives a get, acher, hagadol, his get is meaningless. Okay. what the nafkamina is in Yeshke Nafkaget and so on, that we discussed earlier about the nature of a Chalitza Psula and a Yibum Psula. In other words, if we've created problems, then it won't help to do the Diyaraisa because of the problems that were created in Rabbanan. Either you'll need Chalitza from all of the brothers, it won't be enough to do it with one of the brothers. It's okay. That's the complex discussion that we had earlier. Now, in response to our president's question about the Katan, the Mishnah's coming Mishnayas want to clarify what the din of the Katan is across the board. So first of all, Ben teisha shanim yom echad shebal yivinto. V'yachar kach ba'al le'achiv shehu ben teisha shanim yom echad. Posel al yado. Two ketani, both of them are a little hot. They both take the yavama. Okay, so now the second brother is able to pasel for the first brother because both of them, even though normally a katan doesn't pasel, but certainly in this case they're both the same, and certainly in this case they would pasel. Normally a katan can even pasel for a gadol. But why is this interesting for us? It's interesting for us because Rabbi Shimon surprisingly says lo posel. How could that be? The bi of a katan even pasels for a gadol. So how could it be that it doesn't pasel now for a katan? Ah, because Rabbi Shimon's shita is that the kinyan of a katan ben teisha is a suffix. It may be a complete kinyan since it's based on a zika d'oraisa and doesn't require the das of the katan. If it's a complete kinyan, then the yibum already took place. If the yibum already took place, then what's the difference whether she goes out and sleeps with this other katan? Well, because of an HSC, she thought that she's a shogegas. So that's not a problem. And therefore, you can't aser her. She's already a complete yavama. On the other hand, if a bias katan is not a complete kinyan, it's no kinyan at all, says Rabbi Shimon. Either it is a kinyan or it's not a kinyan. If it is a kinyan, the first child got her. If it's not a kinyan, neither child got her. Therefore, you can't possibly harm anything by having the second bia, which is the bia of the second katan. You can't possibly say, well, that asers are on the first one. How could I on the first one? Either it didn't happen, or the first one actually has her as a complete yavama. Therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, lo posel. Furthermore, a ben teisha shana v'yom echad, sheba al yivim to, v'yachar kach ba al sarata, posel al yado. If now he takes not only his own yavama, one of the women, he takes both of the women that his brother left. Now, normally, when a gadol would do that, he would do that, of course, only with ma'amar. Obviously, you can't. There'd be no point in doing that afterwards. Where would this be no geya? A gadol who goes ahead and gives maimer to one, and then does maimer to the other one, he passels now both of them for himself. Right? Because we say you're only allowed to take one woman from the family, so therefore, if we'll go ahead now and try to do yibum on the first one, we'll say, excuse me, sir, you already have a kinyan on the other one. That's all right. If he tries to take the second one, we say, excuse me, sir, you already have a kinyan on the first one. Therefore, you can't take either of them. The only thing that's an option for you is to go ahead and give a chalitz. But if you have a ben teisha shonim who is sleeping with the both of them, remember, according to the Rabbanan, the bia of a ben teisha is the equivalent of a ma'amar v'gadol. So therefore, according to this, he passeled both of them for himself. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, he didn't passel, because since according to Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is that a bias ben teisha may be a complete kinyan, if it's a complete kinyan, he already did the yibum on the first one. What's an afkamina if he sleeps with the second one? And if it's not a complete kinyan, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a kinyan at all. So he didn't do anything with either. Now that he makes his bar mitzvah, he could take whichever one that he would want in this case. And therefore, there's no problem of asering now. The of course, he can't really take either one because we have a suffix. But I'm saying, bottom line is, he can certainly take the first one. Because if it's a kinyan, then for sure he has her. Tanya, Amalan Rabbi Shimon Chacham. What Rabbi Shimon says was, look, gentlemen, im biyari shanabiya. Look, if the first one that he slept with is you're viewing the bia's temptation as a real bia, well, then it is a real bia. But then shniya ena bia, what he did with the second one is irrelevant. In bia rishona ena bia, and if you're telling me, well, he can't really be kona, okay, he can't really be kona, then he can't really be kona the other one either. He didn't do anything to the second one. So then bia shniya nami ena bia, and therefore mamonashav, he's certainly able to have the first one because he couldn't have answered the first one after he was already kena her. Now our Mishnah is not like Ben Azai, apparently. Our Mishnah, according to the Rabbanan, not according to Rabbi Shimon, views the bia of the katan as a ma'amar, and therefore it says, if he did bia to both her and her tzara, it's the equivalent now, we said, it should be the equivalent now of passing it on herself. So it's ba'al yimimto. And an achakach ba'al tzarata, posel al yidei atzmo. The problem is that Ben Azai holds, Ben Netanya, Ben Azai omer yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar b'shnei yevamim v'yamama achat, v'nein ma'amar achar ma'amar b'shtei yevamod v'yavam achat. So what we have over here is a case of two yavamot and one yavam. We said we have a child who has now slept with two yavamot, her and her tzara. According to Ben Azai, that'll never affect you. Because ma'amar, you can only use once. And Ben Azai says there's no way now that you can go ahead, the same brother can go ahead and do ma'amar twice. Both brothers have a craft to do ma'amar, yes. So another brother can do ma'amar and mess things up for you, but you can't do ma'amar again on the other one and mess things up for you. The Rabbanim didn't give you a kinyan of ma'amar, which is more than the craft that you would have had for Yibam. Yibam you can do once. Ma'amar you can do once. It's a way of utilizing your zika for a semi-Yibam. You can't do Yibam twice, you can't do ma'amar twice. But our Mishnah is saying, I'll leave it to Rabbanim, that the katan, whose bia is like ma'amar, can answer the Yavama on himself by doing it again to the tzara. So that's not like Benazai. Obviously, this Tana holds that you can give ma'amar twice. Ben teshashonim yom echad shebal yavim to umet. How about if he went ahead and did what he thought was a kosher marriage to his yavama, and then he dies? Now, in this case, we have a little bit of a problem because we know when an adult gives ma'amar and dies, what really happened is that we have a curious situation of the yavama that now carries a double zika. She's still not free of the first brother who died. And she isn't, because he never did Yibam, the second brother. But she also has a semi-zika from the second brother. Now the third brother is a lone survivor. He says, well, am I now going to be Miyabim her because of my first brother? Or am I being Miyabim her for my second brother? But we darshan a pasuk that tells us that mi shaleh zikat yavam echad v'lo sheyesh aleh zikat shnei yavamim. Now, that idea is bepashtus only a drabonan idea. Because we cannot come up with a case where a woman would really carry the zika of two homes. The truth is, Tosfos said earlier in the Masechta that we could come up with a strange way, according to some Mandiyamim, in cases where a woman was mekudeshet except vis-a-vis somebody else. So in that case, it is possible to say that for the brothers, it's not viewed as mekudeshet. Okay, but let's not discuss some of the complexities. The parsha says this is entirely only possible as a drabonim in case where a guy gave ma'amar, and we say that only if she has, she's coming now from Achiv, but not if she's coming from two Achim. So she can't carry the two Achim. Now over here, I would have thought that the Ben Tesh Hashani, whose Bia is the equivalent of Ma'amar, creates the same problem. Right? He now dies, okay, leaving a woman who still has her Zika from his older brother who died last year, and a sort of semi-Zika from this child who just died now, and left this over to a third brother who's an older brother. So now, that woman is choletzet v'lo mityaben. Indeed, she cannot get Yibam for the third surviving brother because she carries a semi-zika from the second brother, the child who married her, which was never viewed as a complete marriage because he's too young to have potter her from the Yibam that was tied from the first brother, who was an adult, who died.
So no brothers
left.
She
there's no brothers left. Obviously, she's free. What's wrong with her? Nasa isha the mate. Now, he goes ahead now and marries a woman. And this is the case that our president was talking about a moment ago. And he has brothers, and he goes out and dies. Forget it. A child cannot marry a woman. A child can do yibam v'rabbanan, because the Torah created a zika on him. But a child can't go and say, okay, I'm marrying. And what's more, even a father who has a right to marry his daughter to someone, and that's a kedushin d'oraisa, cannot create a kedushin for his son who is a katan, despite the fact that the Rabbanan said to do so. In other words, the Rabbanan created a vehicle for children to be married because they viewed it as a healthy thing for children to be married, but they didn't create a kedushin for a katan. A katan who has a kedushin d'oraisa, they created a kedushin d'rabbanan because a katana requires protection. So there, it's not merely that we think it's healthy to give children sexual experiences when they're younger, before they have a chance to get on the internet. But for a woman, for a girl, we have to give her protection as well. So therefore, we create a mechanism in which she has a real marriage going for her. And she has a husband, and people are not going to now start fooling around with her because she's got a husband. He may only be 10 years old, but in the case of the Katana, we're talking about she can have a husband who's 20 years old. Okay. The other way around, however, the Rabbanan did not make a vehicle of marriage, but nonetheless, they said, we don't view this relationship of a katan with a woman as being znus. We sanctify it in the sense of saying that it's a good idea, even though it doesn't have a vehicle to provide marriage. It's a very interesting situation. So Tosfos explains it. So we have free love, so to speak, but which the Rabbanan say is a good idea. We don't require a kinyan in order to make it something that is acceptable as non-znus. The very fact that the Rabbanan say it's a good idea means it's non-znus. Very interesting, and normally we relate to the idea of znus as being something outside of the context of marriage. But that's not really true. Okay. So therefore, I would have thought if a katan now is married and he dies, there's some type of the rabbanim yibam. No. He's not married at all. Forget about it. So they're not raised with keturah. Now, a ben teisha shana yom echad shabal yavimta. How about this case? He was 9 years old and up. Actually, it was the week before his bar mitzvah. He took his yavama, and now he went ahead, made his bar mitzvah, and figured, one's not enough for me. He goes and he marries yet another woman, okay? Now he's got one woman who's a d'oraisa wife, and he's got his yavama who is not yet a d'oraisa wife. So, im lo yadat harishona mishigdil, he never slept with the yavama from the time that he became an adult. Harishona choletzet velo mityabemet. So, therefore, the first wife is not really his, and still carries on her the chiyah from the first brother that was never taken off by the katan. So she carries the yibum, really, of two brothers. And therefore, on her, we have a gezerah that she must not get married, the yibum, to the surviving third brother, because he says, now, wait a minute, am I taking her for brother number one, my older brother who died, or is it my kid brother who died? Once you have that question, you can't take her at all, because you can only take a woman that clearly carries one zika. Someone had to have removed the zika from the first brother and then died in order for the remaining brother to now take her for the second brother's marriage. But in this case, this child had never consummated his marriage as an adult after reaching his majority. So he was still only semi-married to her. That's the equivalent of Ma'amar. So the first woman is choletzet milo mityabemet. The second, however, was completely married. Hashniya o choletzet o mityabemet. Now this is a problem. Because we had earlier a Mishnah that said that in a case where you have one woman who has fallen now to a brother, Yibam, and he did Ma'amar to her, and was about to do Yibam, despite the fact that his first wife was saying, couldn't you just give her Chalitza? Why do I got to live with this other woman in my house? He dies before he gives her Yibam. Well, she took care of him. And now he leaves over his first wife, who's been with him for 20 years before his brother died. And now this woman that he did Ma'amar to, and that minor had created this strange situation in which the Rabbanan said, well, you can't, the remaining brother can't marry her. In the previous Mishnah, we learned that in a case where there's also a tzara, you can't marry the tzara either. You can't marry either of them. Because where goes there the tzara the same way? We say, well, in such a case, I mean, you've got two separate chiyuvim. You've got two separate chiyuvim. People are going to see, well, what are you doing over here? You need to pater the woman with the mimer because of the first yibum that was never taken care of. You've got to take care of that woman. So now you're going to go and do the other woman. People are going to say, oh, you mean when a guy dies and leaves two wives, so you marry both of them? Is that what you're saying? Because of that, we say, no, never marry the other one either. So the worst that could happen, people say, okay, so you got to give chalitza. Okay, so they'll give chalitza. They like working in the shoe store. Let them give chalitza. That doesn't scare us, but giving yibum, that could end up being a disaster. Because then when a guy dies and really leaves two complete wives, people say, gee, I remember the case last year when Joe died, and over there they gave chalitza to one and yibum to the other one. And, I guess you could do yibum to both of them or whatever. Or maybe you do yibum first, you do chalitza first and then do yibum like they did to Joe's wife. Of course, if you gave chalitza first and then yibum, you're going to be sleeping with your brother's wife, Shalom HaMakamitzvah. So therefore, we made a gezeirah that you cannot give yibum to either of these women. And yet here we've got exactly the same situation. Because the Katan's Bia was the equivalent case of the Mamar of the Gadol, created a Zika of Shnei Yabin, and we went ahead and say, oh, you're not, but the other wife, it's okay. You can do Chalitza or Yibam for the other wife. How do you explain that? How do you explain the fact that we're ignoring the Gezerah that we had back in the first mission? I don't understand this. That we're going to get to in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon says, have you forgotten, gentlemen, that a child may be a complete Kenyan? And if it's not a complete Kenyan, it's not a Kenyan at all. Not to mention the other thing that you may have forgotten, that I never ever bought into this idea of Misha Yeshal Azikat Shnei Yabin, if you remember back from the earlier Mishnah in Arva Achim. I don't even hold to that. So no matter how you cut it, gentlemen, you could be Meyabin either of these. Either the Kotel actually went ahead and did Yibam by sleeping with her, in which case you could certainly be Meyabin her, because now she carries now his field of Yibam. Or he did absolutely nothing. You still have to be Meyabin her, because she still carries down the Yibam from the first brother. So there's no problem with that. And therefore, I say, you do Yibam to one of them, you do Chalitza to the other. Now, I tell you why. You say, but wait, I thought you didn't hold of Nishyesh al-Zikach Neyabin. Very true, but my dear friend, how about if the Bia of the Kotan was a Kenyan? Well, now, if it was a Kenyan, then if I went ahead and did Yibam, I'm doing Yibam because of the Kotan's marriage, right? So then how can I do Yibam to his real wife? I can't take two women for the same household. I'll be pogea in an eshetach. So I don't care which one you take, as long as you do chalitza to the other one. That's all I'm saying. But you could certainly do yibam to either. That's not a problem. Okay, that's Rabbi Shimon very consistently with his halacha overall. So therefore, I say to be yavin leizish yirtza v'cholish l'shnia. And by the way, when we talk about a 9-year-old, this 9-year-old could be 30 years old and still be a 9-year-old. How do you have a 30-year-old who's 9-year-old He's got genitals, but never reached puberty. So it's a 9-year-old, so to speak, has genitals. Less than a 9-year-old doesn't even have genitals. They can't do anything. They don't have any halakhic ramification as genitals. But the very fact that you may be capable of bia obviously doesn't make you an adult. You also need to reach puberty. Suppose you're 30 years old and never did reach puberty. You're still a katan. And therefore, I don't care whether he's ben teisha shanim yomechad, I don't care whether he's 20 years old, and he was not maybe shtei sa'arot. In either case, he is a ben teisha shanim. That's the point. Now, obviously, this is not strictly true, because if he presents simonim of srisut, which we listed earlier, then at 20, he is indeed no longer a katan. That the Gemara is going to clarify tomorrow. Okay, we'll have to stop here because of the lengthiness, and hopefully we'll still end up being able to finish, catch up. We only could do a daf.
What is the difference when